Welcome, everybody, to Kundan Loka, my favorite place in the whole world to preach Krishna consciousness. Tonight, we are starting the program with a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. We left off in our last session here at Kundan Loka, studying the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The 13th chapter is called Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. We learn from the Bhagavad Gita that there are two natures. There is the material nature, which is temporary, and we have the superior nature, which is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. The material nature is just the opposite, full of ignorance, full of suffering, and temporary. Enjoyer. The actual real enjoyer is God. But the living entities can also be considered the enjoyer because they are part and parcel of God. They have all of God's qualities to a minute degree. And primarily they are considered the enjoyer because, having come to the material world, they're trying to imitate God. So that's why, although the living entity is actually female, meant to be enjoyed, he's pretending, he's trying to be the enjoyer. Right, Mahul? And because he's trying to be the enjoyer, Mahul asked the question while you were getting ready. Why is there so much conflict in the world? It is because everybody is trying to be the enjoyer. Everybody's trying to be the proprietor. And everyone's trying to become the dearmost friend of everyone, imitating Krishna. But that's not possible. And you and I, Krishna Kumar Das, have experienced something recently, someplace, where this is very apparent. Different people are thinking, I'm the enjoyer. I'm the controller. And everyone should like me. So that's the enjoyer. And consciousness, we learned in chapter 2, and just to review, consciousness is the symptom of the soul's presence in the body. You cannot demonstrate the soul, because the soul, as we learned in chapter 2, is invisible. How are you going to reveal something that's invisible? And you're certainly not going to discover the soul by material finite objects. So we know the soul's presence because of consciousness. The difference between a dead body and a living body is consciousness. So those are the three subject matters of this chapter. Nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness. I would request that you turn to text number 8 through 12. Tonight we're going to study the purport, because in our last class we only did the translation. This is a long purport. And I have to say, Krishna Kumar, I love looking right at you. Yes, Krishna Kumar. Are you comfortable, sir? Are you in a good mood? Can we turn on these lights for the people that are going to come?
Yes.
What light can he turn on? The Mahul can do it. Yes. This is the new arrangement for 2013, for 2013. Now I have to explain to my students online. Students online, the reason why you're not seeing my photo or my live camera is because if I switch to camera mode, the computer will crash. So you'll have to be satisfied with the nice audio and the slideshow of Krishna, because if I turn on the camera, the program will crash. So, and please just try to hear. If you're ready to proceed, please repeat. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Purport to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And we must remember that today is a holy day. It is the appearance day of His Divine Grace, Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we have five devotees online. Welcome, five devotees online. Only two have signed in, and that would be Roxana from Lima, Peru, and Rohit from Kolkata. Welcome to Kundan Loka. We're studying the purport to chapter 13, verses 8 through 12. This purport is called the process of knowledge. Mahul, you're going to follow along, right? This process of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. Krishna Kumar, if you were asked by somebody, what is the definition of a less intelligent man according to Bhagavad Gita, what answer would you give?
He doesn't understand Krishna.
Good. Mahul, what would you say according to Bhagavad Gita is the definition of a less intelligent man?
A less intelligent man identifies with his body.
Excellent answer.
Yes.
Mahul.
Yes, yes.
That is actually the answer I was looking for. Your answer was okay.
No.
It was, because if you understand soul, you have to understand God too. Your two answers, you put both answers together, is a perfect answer.
I have one more.
Oh, excuse me.
One who doesn't recognize Lord Chaitanya as the means of deliverance.
Wow. Mahul. You make me proud.
I'll talk to parents today.
Okay. Is misunderstood by less intelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. But actually, this is the real process of knowledge. If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. Who can tell me the three features, not the qualities, the three features of the absolute truth? Yes, impersonal Brahman.
Soul with the super soul.
Super soul.
And then the Bhagavan himself.
Who's Bhagavan?
Shri Krishna.
Mahul, where have you been all my life? You are a great student. Is he right?
Yes.
Krishna Kumar, did he answer correctly?
He did pretty good job. You are doing very good job.
Jai. Rohit says, Kundan Loka Ki Jai. Hari Bol. Now let's go back. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements as described before. Let's review the 24 elements. 5 knowledge acquiring senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. Right? Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. That's 5. The 5 working senses. Throat, hands, legs, genital, anus. Is that 5? Hands, legs, throat, genital, anus. That gives us 10. Then we have the 5 objects of the senses. Color, sound, touch, taste, smell. So now we're up to 15. Then we have the mind, 16. Correct? Now we need 9 more. My boys have come. Come and get your blessing. Very good. Rama, you have brought flowers. May Krishna bless you, Rama. So we need 9 more. Right? We had 15 plus the mind, 16. We got to have intelligence, false ego. That's 2. We need 7 more. Oh, earth, water, fire, air, ether. That's another 5. How many we got now? We need 2 more. You need the unmanifested form of the material energy, namely pradhan. So there's only 1 I'm missing. Anyway, 24 elements of the material world. Please get your Bhagavad Gita and follow along. Krishna Kumar, what page are we on?
649.
Welcome, Bharati. How you are? And look at Nimai Charandas. And here comes Jai Krishna Das. What is the problem?
This book has a different page.
And oh, and you told them the right?
Yes.
Mahul, I am so proud of you, Mahul. Are your parents coming?
I think so, yeah.
Well, why are they late? You chastise them on my order.
No, they're babysitting the...
I don't care. And how is Mr. Rishabh? How you are? He's ecstatic? All right, get your book. All right, Mahul, what page are we on?
In this book, 573.
Yes, 573. We are studying the process of knowledge as contained in chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra, please. And welcome back, Jai Krishna Das. Did Mousy go too? Okay. We're in the beginning of the purport. This is actually the means to get out of the entanglement of those elements. The embodied soul is entrapped by the body, which is a casing made of the 24 elements. And the process of knowledge, as described here, is the means to get out. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. Repeat after me. Mayi chananya yogena bhaktir avyabhicharani. The process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So Mahul and I were having a discussion earlier today before you all came. And it's this topic of unalloyed. So, my dear Kairan, what is the meaning of the word unalloyed? The word. What is the meaning of the word unalloyed? We should know what the word means. Krishna Kumar. Pure. Alloy means something is added. Like sometimes they mix two metals to produce an alloy, which means you're getting cheated. Or in India, if you're not careful, instead of ghee, what do you get?
Dalda.
And that stuff will make you sick. So, unalloyed means nothing has been added. Pure. That's like ghee. You can't get anything purer than ghee. Because what does ghee mean? All the impurities were taken out. Have you ever made ghee? Yeah. Oh, you should make it sometime. It's fun. When you make ghee, the whole house becomes purified. and it gives off a sweet, like my wife makes ghee at least once a month. She makes ghee for us and she makes ghee for our daughter. So you have to cook it slow, very low heat. You have to let it cook. And as it melts down, the impurities of the butter rise to the top. And you skim it off. And you keep cooking it. And you keep cooking it until it's a golden, golden liquid. Just like liquid gold. Now it's, as Krishna Kumar says, shuddhi. Shuddh means pure. Like shuddha sattva. Pure goodness. All right. Let us continue. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. The process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So if one does not approach or is not able to approach the transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items are of no particular value. So that means in this process of knowledge, there are 20 items. Because he says here, the other 19. So 19 plus the other means 20. But if one takes to devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, the other 19 items automatically develop within him. And this was another question Mehul had for me earlier today, which is something we learn in the Bhagavatam. Something we learn in the Bhagavatam is that if you perform bhakti, all good qualities automatically develop. Why? Jai Krishna Das. Why is it that if you do devotional service, all the good qualities naturally develop? Why? Yes, but I need a little better answer. Why?
God has you inside your heart.
Yes.
There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that I carry what you lack.
Yes. Okay. That's okay. There's another answer I'm looking for. Repeat the question. How is it that if you do devotional service, all good qualities automatically develop in a person? Why? Yes, but nobody's answering why it's automatic.
Because your nature changes as a result.
Nature changes?
Yeah, you go from passion to goodness.
You're close.
You acquire Krishna's qualities?
You already have them. They're already there. The soul, does the soul have all the qualities of Krishna? How much to a degree?
Infinitesimal.
Oh, okay. Now, when we are materially contaminated, those good qualities are covered. Huh? Yes. But the qualities are already there. They can't manifest extraneously.
Okay.
So, they're already there. The process of bhakti brings them out. Whereas sinful activities cover them over. Just like this incense stick, right? If it doesn't have the ability to burn, it won't burn. It has to have the quality that as soon as you light it, it ignites. So the soul, by nature, has all good qualities. By devotional service, those inherent qualities of the soul start to manifest. They're not gotten from the store. You already have them. That's why it's automatic. If I stick a match to that incense and light it properly, how long does it take for it to light? It's automatic. It automatically lights. Okay? So, and this is what Lord Chaitanya teaches. Love of God is there already in the soul. Love of God is the sum total of all the good qualities of a person. If a person loves God completely, can he do anything wrong?
No.
No. If somebody totally loves God, they don't do anything wrong. They don't have any bad qualities. Even if they had a bad quality, Krishna takes care of it. Because that person loves Krishna so much. So the soul, every soul already has all the... And we study in Nectar of Devotion? How many of the 64 qualities? How many of 64 Krishna's qualities does the soul have? Doesn't have all 64.
60.
No, that's Vishnu.
Oh.
Shiva has 55. Pick a lower number.
50.
50. So those 50 qualities of Krishna manifest in a soul as he does devotional service. But, of course, pipsqueak. But that's enough. All right. Does anybody disagree? Everybody is okay? Jai. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
We're up to seven. Back to the purport. As stated, oh, here's the verse. I can't believe it. What I was just saying comes in the next sentence. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sabhargunaistatra samasate sura. All the good qualities of knowledge develop in one who has attained the stage of devotional service. The principle of accepting a spiritual master, as mentioned in the 8th verse, is essential. Even for one who takes to devotional service, it is most important. Mahula and I were discussing this also. Mahula, just so happens, tonight's verse answers all the questions you had tonight. All your questions, it's already here in this purport. Oh, let's repeat that. Transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, clearly states here that this process of knowledge is the actual path. Anything speculated beyond this is nonsense. Because if you look at the translation, what's the last part of the translation? What's the last part of the translation of these verses? The last part.
And besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance.
Well, well, well. Whatever else there may be besides these items is ignorance.
So could we say that it correlates with anything apart from Krishna's mind?
Yes, that would be a nice correlation. Let us continue. As for the knowledge outlined here, the items may be analyzed as follows. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. I'll let that one sink in for all of us. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. We just went through a whole award season. We had this award, the Academy Awards, the Grammys. Everybody wants to get the accolades of their peers. Right? That means no humility. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have this on Oscar night. They're all, am I going to get the Oscar? Am I going to be? That means no humility. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honors from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not this body. So what is perfect knowledge? To know that you're not the body. That's perfect knowledge. Anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion. We all had experience with this. We go to temples and we see that people are very anxious. I got to be the first one up front. I got to be up front. Right? Right? And they have to have their name called every time. and such donated $1 million. One should not be hankering after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion. And consequently, sometimes it is found, without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles, and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. Mentor means teacher. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra one time.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Nonviolence is generally taken to mean not killing or destroying the body. But actually, nonviolence means not to put others into distress. People are, in general, are entrapped by ignorance in the material concept of life, and they perpetually suffer material pains. So unless one elevates people to spiritual knowledge, one is practicing violence. One should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people so that they may become enlightened and leave this material entanglement. That is nonviolence. So, Rishabh and Chiron, do you do book distribution? Then you're practicing nonviolence. So keep practicing nonviolence, because you're distributing knowledge. Prabhupada's books is real knowledge. If they read one page, one line, one word of Prabhupada's books, they're being saved. Your son is going to chastise you on my order.
So I'm glad that we are here. Right?
Okay. Very good. Is there another? Do you need a chair?
No, I'll sit over there.
Look at it. Where is Nimai Charan? Why is he hiding? Neither am I. So what? Nobody's feeling good. We're all attached to this body. Jai. Let's continue. Tolerance means that one should be practiced to bear insult and dishonor from others. Classic example, Lord Shiva. When his father-in-law criticized him in the open assembly, the yajna, Daksha went on a tirade and was criticizing that Brahma forced him to give his daughter to Lord Shiva. He didn't really want to do it. And then he said, this Shiva dresses very poorly, lives under a tree. He's covered with ashes. He made so many derogatory comments. And everybody else was getting agitated. But what did Lord Shiva do? Nothing. He remained silent. That's not easy. That is very difficult. It's bad enough people talk behind your back. But if they talk bad about you, in front of others, intolerable. But Lord Shiva is so great, he just remains silent. That's why Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu.
What about when he cut off that king's head?
That's later.
Big,
you know why he did that? You know why he did that? Because his wife, no, Sati, before she was Parvati. Next time around she was Parvati. But his wife decided to give up her body because she said, my father talks this way about my husband. Then when one has eaten poisonous food, the only remedy is to vomit. So this body comes from this daksha. I do not want to be known as his daughter anymore. So she meditated, and her body burst into flames. So when Lord Shiva heard that Sati had killed herself, he lost it. He had to punish Daksha. He had to. And later on, when all the demigods go and see Lord Shiva and beg forgiveness, Lord Shiva says, I did this to teach him a lesson. And then what did he do? He brought him back to life. Yes. And he gave him the head of the goat, because the goat was supposed to be offered as the sacrifice. In that sacrifice, they were going to offer a goat. And Daksha was killed with the instrument that was supposed to be used to kill the goat. But instead, he got killed by that instrument. So when he was brought back to life, because the head, what happened was, Virabhadra, the personified anger of Lord Shiva, took the head and did swaha, and the head went into the fire. So there was no head. So he needed a head. All right, give him the goat head. Can you imagine walking around with a goat head? Kind of embarrassing. But actually, Daksha gave up that body too and got another body. And I think he worshipped Lord Vishnu. Yes. He went to a mountain and performed the prayers. What are those prayers called? Hamsaguya prayers. And Daksha got the ultimate benediction for a materialist. Unlimited sex. Ha! Daksha wanted a benediction to have unlimited sex. So Vishnu gave it to him. He's mad with material desire. So he gets the facility as a progenitor. He can satisfy his sexual desires and he's creating progeny. So it's okay. It's not that it's sinful. It's not sinful for him because he's given special facility to have unlimited sex, but he's producing thousands, like at one time he produced 10,000 sons. And then Narada delivered those 10,000 sons. So then he produced another 10,000 sons. And Narada delivered them. Because Daksha wanted both of those sons to take up household life. But Narada said, what are you guys doing? You don't want to be in Maya. You want to take up sannyas. So both sets of 10,000 sons, Haryashvas and Shabalashvas. What do you think?
Yes.
Can Narada act independent?
No.
Can Narada be in Maya?
Was it specifically like...
No, had nothing to do with that.
Okay.
All Narada wants to do, Narada is the ideal preacher. Narada Muni is my hero. I follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni. What does Narada do all day? Chant, travel, preach. That's what I want to do. I don't want to do anything else. And thanks to my wife, that's all I get to do. Thank you, my dear wife. Thank you, Varuni Devi Dasi. Last week, where was I at this time? Guadalajara. Next month, I'll be in Santiago. I'm going to New Jersey in May. I'm going to Panama for Janmashtami. Krishna is fulfilling my desire. Will you bless me that I can do more traveling? Or do you want me to stay here? Okay. Then Rama has made the... So make pray to Krishna then. I'll pray to Krishna that I travel, and you pray to Krishna that I stay here. How does that sound? Who's Krishna going to listen to?
You.
Because you are more pure than me. All right, let's go back to the purport. Nimai Charan, you with us? Thank you. Mantratas tantratas chidram... Desha Kalaha Vastuta. I don't know the rest of them. By the end of my life, I'll memorize that mantra. Oh, look at you. Oh, so if he ever's not here, I can call you to do it, huh? Krishna Kumar, we have 9 devotees online. Everybody say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Okay, so we have Devavati in Mayapur. Say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
And we have Vibhav Krishnadas in Bangalore. Thank you very much. And Roxana and Rohit. Okay, back to the purport. Or as they say, back to the future. All right. Tolerance means that one should be practiced to bear insult and dishonor from others. If one is engaged in the advancement of... Oh, Mahul, or was it Chiron? Who wanted to know why Lord Shiva got angry? Okay, so, you may say, Mahul, you may say, in one instance he was tolerant. Why did he get upset? Because the husband's duty is to what? What did Ram do when Ravan took Sita? Prabhupada says, Ram could have sat back and produced another million Sitas. Like that. He could have done that. He could have said, yeah, what's one Sita? I can produce a million. But the husband's duty is, what did you say?
Protect the wife.
That's why he had to kill Daksha. To give, protect, and he has to set the example. Lord Shiva's Mahajan. Whatever Lord Shiva does, millions and millions of saintly persons are going to follow. He's Mahajan. So he's showing, hey, if you're married, you must give full protection to the wife. Good? All right, let's continue. This is expected because material nature is so constituted. Even a boy like Prahlad, who was only 5 years old, was engaged in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge. He was endangered when his father became antagonistic to his devotion. The father tried to kill him in so many ways, but Prahlad tolerated him. Did Prahlad ever fight back? Nope. Did Prahlad ever talk back? No, he spoke when spoken to. If his father asked him, then he said the real thing. Like one time his father asked him, and Prahlad said, well, my dear, best of the demons, in my opinion, you should go to the forest because you are a Grihavrata, not a Grihamedi. You're a Grihavrata. You have taken a vow to remain as a dog in the household, so-called household ashram. So Prahlad spoke to, and when he was asked, he spoke the truth. Otherwise, he was very meek and mild and obedient. So there may be some impediments to making advancement in spiritual knowledge, but we should be tolerant and continue our progress with determination. Simplicity means that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward that he can disclose the real truth even to an enemy. As for acceptance of the spiritual master, that is essential. Because without the instruction of a bona fide, who knows the meaning of the word bona fide? Yes? Authorized. Good. How about a literal translation? Bona fide. It's Latin. Bona fide. Anybody know the actual meaning? No, the actual meaning of the word bona fide. Not in context. What does the words themselves actually mean in Carmiland? It means good faith. Fide faith, bona, good. Bona fide, bona fide. Okay? Bona fide means in good faith. So a bona fide spiritual master is someone you accept in good faith. Because you don't know. It's a gamble in one sense. You don't know. You're placing your faith in such a person that you feel in good faith that this person is the representative of God. Can you guarantee it? You know for absolute certain? No, you don't know. Same with me. I didn't know. Prabhupada seemed, but I can't say to somebody, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I may feel like that, but I can't verify it scientifically. So the spiritual master is accepted in good faith. Okay. As for acceptance of the spiritual master, that is essential because without the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot progress in the spiritual science. Ah, what word is very interesting? How about the word science? Spiritual. How many people do you think out there would accept that spiritual science? Do they teach that in UCLA, spiritual science?
Nobody.
Rama, you work in a hospital, right? Right? Is there a department of spiritual science? But they got all these other departments, right? Right? They got one for killing babies, one for bringing in babies. They've got so many departments. Am I right? Right? So, and they have so many sciences. So, we are teaching spiritual. Prabhupada is very bold by use of this word science. I told you the story 100 times when I gave a class in Cal State, LA, in Mrs. Wilson's class. And one of her students objected. Why you keep saying spiritual science? Science is biology, chemistry. I said, no. There is spiritual science. One should approach the spiritual master with all humility and offer him all services so that he will be pleased to bestow his blessings upon the disciple. Mahul, did you satisfy me today? What did I say? Therefore, what am I going to give you? That's right. Mahul came early and helped me set up all the equipment. Praveena did little. No, actually, Praveena did quite a lot. You did good, Praveena, but Mahul did a lot. Usually, Praveena does everything with me. But today, I gave Praveena a little vacation. Is that okay, Praveena? Okay. Thank you for your mercy. So Mahul did lights. Very nice to see you. How come you're always smiling?
Me?
Stop smiling.
Dad, I can't do that.
I know. Why she can't stop smiling, huh? Arjun, how come she can't... Is somebody tickling her?
No.
Tell me why she can't stop smiling.
She's ecstatic.
I'm asking Arjuna.
She's ecstatic.
She's ecstatic. Why is she ecstatic? Because she ate kanvi? She is doing devotional service. Very good, Arjuna. I like your new glasses. They're cool. You're cool like me now, man. High five. All right. How are we doing there, Hiran? Jai. Because a bona fide spiritual master is representative of Krishna, is the representative the same as Krishna? Yes and no. Yes and no. Sakshad Haritvena. But the better answer is, representative is not exactly the same. Just like the policeman. The policeman cannot say, I'm Barack Obama. No, he can represent the governor or the president, but he cannot say, I am.
Is this related to energy and energetic?
Not bad, Mahu. Where did you get this transcendental consciousness? You are in transcendental consciousness.
Mom gave it to me when I was born, before I was born.
Oh, so you're born Krishna conscious.
I'm like some kid there.
So you were born, so you're like Maharaj Pariksit. You were born Krishna conscious. I see. All right.
I didn't awaken until age 30 though.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Just to see
the Sukadev way. Took 16 years. You took 30. All right. Well, that's all right. Keep up the good work. The disciple, okay, if he bestows any blessing upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulative principles, or the regulative principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation. Without reservation means just like the day of Ram's coronation, when he was supposed to be crowned, his father said, son, I need something. And Ram said, even before you ask, the answer is yes. And what did Dasarath have to say? You're not going to be crowned king. In fact, you're banished to the forest for 14 years. And Ram already had said yes. That's a first-class son. So, parents, do you have that kind of children? That before you even ask, the answer is yes? You don't have to tell me. But that's a first-class son. The answer is yes, even before it's asked. Like I can say, I'm going to embarrass somebody. But I can say, Krishna Kumar, he's my son. Because I am taking the place of his father. I know that if I ask Krishna Kumar something, the answer is always yes. That much I know, Krishna Kumar. And I like you sitting there. I can see you. You like my new seat, the way I'm sitting? Yes, I like it too. Only I hope I don't get a crink in my neck. Okay, let's continue. Cleanliness is essential for making advancement in spiritual life. My mother, my first guru, always used to tell me, Nikki, cleanliness is next to godliness. Do you parents tell your children that too? No?
Yes.
Yes. Why is he shaking his head? Are you saying yes? Are you saying yes? Which one are you saying? Yes? I remember the first time I saw an Indian person do that. I go, what? He was going, yes, no. Wait a second. You drive on the right, left, and you say yes and no backwards. Cleanliness is essential for making advancement in spiritual life. Ah, here's important. There are two kinds of cleanliness, external and internal. So somebody may say, oh, it means I got to take Drano? No, that's not how you clean the inside. External cleanliness means taking a bath. But for internal cleanliness, one has to think of Krishna. How much? And chant? Very good. This process cleanses the accumulated dust of past karma from the mind. What was the shloka that you chanted, Jai Krishna? Who knows where that's from? Cheto Darpanam. Where's it from? Where's it from? You, I know you know. I got to test them. Where's it from? Which part? It's the first word. It's the very first statement. I know you know. Sometimes you got to give the youngsters a chance. All right. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Everybody say.
Cheto Darpana Marjanam.
So what does Cheto mean? What did you say?
Consciousness.
What else?
Darpana means mirror.
Not
heart.
Stick with Cheto. Cheto is the heart. What else? Consciousness. One more.
Mind.
Who said that? Is that you, Rama? Very good. Cheto, Darpana. Okay, Darpana is what?
Mirror.
Mirror, yes. And then Marjanam. Cleaning, yes. All right, let's continue. Steadiness means that one should be very determined to make progress in spiritual life. Without such determination, one cannot make tangible process. So in this Bhagavad Gita, there's a story of the sparrow who lost her eggs in the ocean. So what was she willing to do, Batuk? She was going to go drop by drop, empty the ocean until she found her eggs. The ocean laughed, didn't it? But who didn't laugh? Garuda. So when Garuda said, I'll help you, what could Garuda do? He could swallow it like Janu. Didn't Janu swallow the Ganga? Right? That's why she's called Janavi. Janu swallowed the whole Ganga and then it came out again. Right? I saw it in a movie.
Didn't Janu come from the He swallowed and came from his...
It came from the
thigh. Janu is like research topic.
Yeah, but if somebody's the daughter of Janu, wouldn't she be called Janavi?
No, that's true.
Okay, so both are there.
There's a word.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Okay.
There's a word that means thai also.
Thai, that's thai also. Okay, good. But it also means daughter of Janu. Janu, Janavi. Because it's also there in ninth canto that Janu swallowed the whole Ganga in one sip. pretty powerful sage. By the way, Kamlesh, for everyone's edification, who are the seven great sages? Vishwamitra, Atri, Vashista, Bhadaraj, Bhadaraj, Kashyap, two more. No, because Kamlesh had me look this up, so I thought he must have memorized it by now. All right, never mind. How did you know? No, you know why you know? Because the wife is what half? So whatever spiritual progress... Boy, your bank account is really high now. You get half of his. Okay, wait, wait. Read it from there. Bhadaraj.
The seven sages.
The seven sages.
And seven stars.
Right. Yes.
Saptarishi.
So, my point, Meenakshi, you're getting half of his spiritual account. Plus, you're chanting 60 rounds, following the fog of the principles, worshiping the deity. You're overflowing. Could you please bless us? Everyone's going to get blessings tonight from Meenakshi.
Yes.
Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
You are my guru. How can I bless you?
If the guru tells you, then you just do.
Okay.
Don't
then,
you?
Then I will obey you.
Oh, now you'll obey. Okay. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. I have to make a message for the people online. People online, the reason why you're not seeing the camera is because if I use the camera, the program will crash. So I'm showing you a slideshow because the slideshow I can use without crashing the system. So I'm sorry that you can't see the camera, but it's either that or no program. So everybody chant the Maha Mantra for everybody online. Because there's one of my students, she insists that the camera be there, but it's going to crash the system. So, which would you rather have? Nothing or something? Okay, let's continue. Let's change the reverb. Okay. Without determination, one cannot make tangible progress. And self-control means that one should not accept anything which is detrimental to the path of spiritual progress. So earlier tonight, Mahu was asking me about surrender. What is tangible surrender? So two of those, the first two, accept everything favorable for who? Not for me. Everything favorable for whose senses? Krishna's senses. And reject everything unfavorable to me? Again, Krishna's senses. As I always like to quote Srimati Radharani, who says in the Shikshastakam chapter, when Lord Chaitanya is taken over by Radharani, and he's explaining the last Shikshastakam verse. Radharani says, if there's something that Krishna likes, and I hate it, I love that thing. And if there's something I hate, but Krishna likes it, ooh, I love it. That's full surrender. She has no consideration of her own. Only what does Krishna want? And the other story, Narada came. The headache. Krishna had a so-called headache. He went to the Brahmins. Krishna wants the dust of your feet, otherwise his headache won't go away. The Brahmins got very angry at Narada. What are you doing, Narada? We don't believe you. You didn't seek. Stop it. Go away. Then he went to the gopis. Krishna has a headache. What? Yes, and he says the only medicine is the dust of your feet. Take. Take as much as you like. And Narada said, but you'll go to hell. We don't care. Just like a real mother will do anything for her child. Anything. Oh, what about the story of Uttara in first canto? When Ashvatthama sent the Brahmastra to kill Parikshit in the womb. What was Uttara's prayer to Krishna? Let it kill me, but save the baby. Wow. Tell that to the women's libbers. Nowadays, that will not work. They won't accept that. But that was Uttara's prayer to Krishna. It's right there in the Bhagavatam, first canto. Let it kill me, but save my baby. Yes, Mahul.
So Radharani is an expansion of Krishna's.
Radharani is Krishna's pleasure potency. Radha and Krishna are one, separated themselves eternally as. Now continue with your question.
So is the existence both spiritual and material?
No material.
Okay.
Completely spiritual.
Is Krishna dreaming all this? Because there's nothing that exists apart from him. So
okay, wait. What are we talking about now?
No.
One question at a time. Go ahead.
Okay, so none of the jiv atmas or anything that exists can exist without Krishna.
That is correct. We are relative truths. That is correct. And Radha is part and parcel of that.
Right.
As Prabhupada writes in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is no meaning to Krishna without... Say it.
Radharani.
And there's no meaning to Radha without...
Krishna.
You gotta have both. Just like... Can you hand me the lighter, please? My favorite example. Let's see if I know how to do this. Alright. What do you see? Heat and light. Anything else? Fire. Right? You see fire. You see heat. And you feel the heat and you see light. Can they exist without each other? No. There's Radha and Krishna. Krishna is the flame. Radha is the heat and light. Good enough?
Yes.
Thank you, Meenakshi. At least you said yes.
I've heard, I'm not trying to divert the subject, but I've heard...
I wouldn't let you.
A different person, doesn't matter who he is, states that this existence, this material world, is a dream.
I've said that a billion times.
Oh, I didn't know that, though.
It's a dream.
No, but a Krishna's dream. Like his
Mahavishnu's dream.
Mahavishnu, that's right.
But it's also our dream.
Okay.
We're part and parcel of that dream. When do you wake up from the dream? How do you wake up from the dream? How do you wake up from the dream? Wait, I'm going
to
ask Kamlesh.
Krishna.
Oh, yes, surrender to Krishna, the answer to all questions. What's the verse, everybody?
Sarva dharman paritajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashuchi.
When it's time to go back to Godhead, Yamaraj is going to ask you that question. So you want to go back to Godhead, huh?
Yeah.
All right. What's Bhagavad Gita 1866? And then you'll remember all the times we talked about that at Namahat.
Can we just paraphrase to him?
Would you want to take a chance? I would quote the Sanskrit, the English. If I knew it in Spanish, I would say it in Spanish. If I knew Hindi, I would say it in Hindi. I would say... What else would you like me to say?
Any language.
Huh?
Any language.
Gujarati. I don't know Gujarati. All right, let's go back to the purport. Okay, are we having a good time tonight?
Yes.
Are we enjoying Krishna consciousness? All right. One should be accustomed to this and reject anything which is against the path of spiritual progress. So, Mahul, what are the four basic things that we reject?
What's implied in the regular four regulative.
Please state them for the record.
Illicit sex,
We want illicit sex?
No. But that's what we don't want.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Don't want illicit sex. Don't want gambling. Don't want intoxication. Don't want the consumption of flesh.
Good. So, what place not too far from here should I avoid at all costs? City. Thank you. Because those four things are going on 24/7. Those casinos are running 24/7. They have a night shift, they have a day shift, so that people can have full access to sinful activities. Was that? I call it the capital of Cully.
Yeah, darker region of life.
Yes. All right, let's continue. This is real renunciation. The senses are so strong that they are always anxious to have sense gratification. One should not cater to these demands, which are not necessary. The senses should only be gratified to keep the body fit so that one can discharge his duty in advancing in spiritual life. The most important and uncontrollable sense is the tongue. If one can control the tongue, then there is every possibility of controlling the other senses. The function of the tongue is to taste and to vibrate. Therefore, by systematic regulation, the tongue should always be engaged in tasting the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna and chanting what? As far as the eyes are concerned, they should not be allowed to see anything but the beautiful form of Krishna. So all to look, everyone look at the altar and look at the beautiful form of Krishna. Or, Kamlesh might say, you can look at the form of Bhagavad Gita. Right, Kamlesh? In the Who does the Guru Granth?
Sikh.
So I once went in Panama. One of my supporters was a Sikh member. And I went to the Gurudwar. And there they had the big book on like an altar. And while the service was going on, they were fanning the book. I was very impressed.
It's like a person, they do everything, put them to sleep and all.
Yes. So, we should treat Bhagavad Gita. Would you say, Kamlesh, we should treat Bhagavad Gita in the same way, with great respect? Because that book is also a deity. You all know at the temple Suradas? You know, who knows Suradas? So, let me tell you a story of Suradas. Surdas at L.A. Temple.
Oh, you're talking about him?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking real
Surdas. No. Suradas at the L.A. Temple. I will tell you a story. So, before Suradas became famous Kirtan Bhajan man, he was known in ISKCON as one of the most stalwart book distributors. He was tough. He was rough. He was mean. But he was one of the best. He's dedicated to Prabhupada's books. So in 1976, I was with another Sankirtan party in Minneapolis, St. Paul, in the dead of winter. And that was cold. We had snow up to here. So we spent a couple of nights with his party. They had rented a little house. And he said to me, I want to show you our altar. So he opens one room of the apartment, and the whole room is full of Prabhupada's books. And that's what they did art to every day. To the whole room full of books. They offered the prasadam to the cases of books. That was amazing. He had that same understanding, that the book is Krishna. All right, let's continue. That will control the eyes. Similarly, the ears should be engaged in hearing about Krishna. So that's what I do. I engage my hearing as much as possible all day in hearing about Krishna. Similarly, the ears should be engaged in hearing about Krishna, and the nose in smelling the flowers offered to Krishna. So now you know why we pass the flower around after arti, because that flower, once it's offered, becomes a sacrament. In the Catholic religion, they have different things that are sacraments. They're considered holy. And they bless you. So the incense, the flower, these things are sacraments. This is the process of devotional service. And it's to be understood here that Bhagavad Gita is simply expounding the science of devotional service. So Prabhupada here is giving you the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. It's devotional service. As I've said a trillion times, if you want to see Krishna, what's the word? Bhakti. If you want to know Krishna, what word? Right. Devotional service, bhakti. Right? Bhakti mam abhijanati. That's 18th chapter. 11th chapter. At the end of the 11th chapter, Krishna says, if you want to see me as I am, the answer is? In the middle of the 8th chapter, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am. So there's no other alternative. I'll ask Kamlesh. Kamlesh, can you realize Krishna by yoga other than bhakti? Yeah, but how about other yogas?
No.
How about by fruitive activities, karma? How about by mental speculation? What is the only way to realize Krishna, everybody?
Bhakti.
Thank you. Of course, he's going to repeat something. Why does Prabhupada repeat time and time again? You want to know why? If I ask Kamlesh, he'll say certain words. But we're all blockheads. We're all less intelligent. That's why Prabhupada has to repeat it. Just like sometimes, you have to tell your child, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Why? Because they didn't listen the first 100 times. That's why children, your parents have to repeat it sometimes. Yell! Because you're not listening. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Listening means, acha. That's listening. That's real hearing. You paid attention. To continue. Devotional service is the main and sole objective. Unintelligent commentators on the Bhagavad Gita try to divert the mind of the reader to other subjects. But there is no other subject in Bhagavad Gita than devotional service. So Mahul, in one purport, you're getting the entire gist. I think they call it here Gita Sar. This is Gita Sar. This purport is Gita Sar. Here it is. Prabhupada is spoon-feeding us the essence of the Gita. Spoon-feeding. Which part of no doesn't someone understand? If you say the word no, doesn't take a dictionary. The word no is quite clear. Like if a child says, Mommy, can I do this? No. All right, let me ask my dad. Dad, can I go here? No. Let me ask Grandma. Grandma, no. The only one who will tell him yes is his rascal friend. That's the only one who will say yes. But those who are authority, those who care about the person, will say no.
Doesn't God say as he wished?
Yeah. But parents are not going to, when you have your child, you are not going to say, Yateshasita takaru. You're not going to do that. You're going to tell your child no. Don't you have to sometimes tell him no?
A lot of times.
All the time.
All the time. Batuk, I know you have ideal children, but was there occasionally sometimes you had to say?
All the time.
All the time. All right. Now, I know here in Arjuna, the answer is never no, because they're angels. Okay, let's continue. False ego means accepting the body as oneself. Boy, Prabhupada is just giving these great one-liners. It's like, it's unbelievable. False ego means accepting this body as oneself. When one understands that he is not his body and his spirit soul, he comes to his real ego. Oh, I have said that a billion times. Now it's confirmed. Prabhupada is using this language, real ego. Because I've said this so many times. If there's false ego, there has to be real ego. But I never could see, well, where Prabhupada said it. It's right here. Everything is in Bhagavad Gita, right, Kamlesh? Everything. Prabhupada put everything here in Bhagavad Gita.
Prabhupada said that if you just say Gita, that's good enough.
That's good enough.
To go back to Krishna.
Very good. Who would like to do some service? I need someone to do service. Arjuna, can you go to the garage and fill this up with Rasoham Apsukanteya? Now let's see if he knows Bhagavad Gita. Don't tell him! It's a test. Let's see what he brings back. All right, let's continue. False ego is condemned, but not real ego. In the Vedic literature, namely Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is said, Aham Brahmasmi. Everyone say,
Aham Brahmasmi.
I am Brahman. I am spirit. This I am, the sense of self, also exists in the liberated stage of self-realization. This sense of quote-unquote I am is ego. But when the sense of I am is applied to this false body, it is false ego. When the sense of self is applied to reality, that is real ego. So Arjuna,
yeah,
what is the meaning of Rasoham Apsukanteya? I am the taste of water. But he's not wrong, because is Krishna water? Where does water come from? Okay, you might say, to be smart, comes from Indra. All right, I can't say you're wrong. Where does Indra come from?
Krishna.
Krishna proved that Govardhan Leela. When Krishna chastised Indra and said, hey Indra, you get your powers from moi, from me. And I can take it away anytime I like. So Indra learned from Krishna who's the boss. Just like sometimes the parents have, especially with teenage children, like my father did with me. This is my house, you will do what I say, or else get out. And I had to get out, because I wouldn't surrender anymore to my father at the age of 19. I walked out the door at 11 o'clock at night, because he gave me ultimatum. You're going to be in this house, you're going to do what I say. He was very angry with my long hair. And so I packed a suitcase and walked out the door. So, you have a question, Mahul?
Yeah, this is just regarding to the different types of Hinduism that's practiced in India. I watched this Indian channel before when we had Indian TV on Dish Network, and I noticed that people of different denominations, that means one Shaktas and Shabais, people that worship Shiva as supreme, and then people that worship Durga as supreme, or Kali, the various sections of Hinduism.
They read Bhagavad Gita and they speak about it. They read Bhagavatam and speak about it. Yet they don't believe what's implied directly in those books. I'm wondering why.
Kamlesh, I'll let you answer that. Wait. Give the microphone to Kamlesh so that the people on the internet can hear. This is right up Kamlesh's alley. Introducing the world preacher.
Hare Krishna. You know, just a real life example. A couple of years ago, I went to a temple on Disneyland Drive. I don't know if it's still there, but it's called Chimaniya Mission. And every Sunday, they give a 2-hour lecture, Bhagavad Gita class. And I went there one Sunday, sat for 2 hours. The class was excellent. So then after the class, I went, like I go to every temple, I went to the Swami to give my CDs. And I asked him a question. I said, Swami, you're giving a class on Bhagavad Gita, but there's no picture of Ram, there's no picture of Krishna, there's no deity of Krishna or Ram, it's just Lord Shiva. So, but according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is supreme, so at least you should have a picture. And the Swami said, Shiva is supreme, get out.
Oh. Oh. Wow.
They told you?
So. Okay. All right, let's not start getting into temple bashing. Okay, now, to answer your question. Okay? That's a good way to start. So here's the thing. In Hinduism, you have two major schools. Personalist and impersonalist. The impersonalists don't believe that there is a supreme personal God. Everything comes from Om, impersonal Om, or Brahman. Okay? Their philosophy is you can worship whoever you like. It doesn't matter. If you want to worship Shiva as supreme, go right ahead. You want to worship Ganesh as a... Go right ahead. It doesn't matter. Because everything is coming from impersonal, primordial Brahma. One. Well, void would be Buddhist. Oneness. The all-pervasive oneness. From which everything emanates. The other school are the devotees, personalists, who say no. Brahmanohi pratishta aham. One of the most important lines in all of Bhagavad Gita. The Brahman comes from? Only two people know that?
Krishna.
I'll ask it again. Where does Brahman come from?
Krishna.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay? So depending on which school you are, that's the kind of Hinduism that comes out. Okay? Does it make sense? Dr. Garmakar. Try it. Nice and loud. Wait. Slow down. Speak in the mic. No, it's on the internet. You got to talk into the mic.
To go to Krishna, you have
I don't hear you.
To go to Krishna, you have to follow all the strict rules and regulations. But if you do other devatas, you don't have to follow all the rules and regulations because you.
Who
can,
says?
This is people told me that. Like you can eat meat, but you can worship Durga. You can. Not follow all the principles, but you can still worship Shiva. But to go to Krishna, you have to be really, really follow all those principles. And people says we have a really hard time following those rules. So why not we worship the other devatas and get what we want?
Okay, Rama, get the microphone. Quote a verse in Bhagavad Gita that answers his question before I answer it. Use the microphone, please. Huh?
I don't remember which one.
Okay. What's the verse? Wait, in the microphone.
I know that he's talking about that if somebody wants to have faith in another God other than him, he will help him do that, cultivate that faith through the inner God in the heart, the super soul. So people can.
That's partial. Give the microphone to Batuk. He got the verse. That's all right. Say it in English.
No, I don't remember the verse. Just
say it in English.
Yeah, okay. It means that whoever worship different devatas, they go to them. And whoever worship me, they come to me.
And those what?
Worship me, they come to me.
There is the answer. So you may say rules, this and that. Whoever you worship. And actually... Whoever you worship, if you really want to go there, you have got to follow rules and regulations.
Rules and regulations too. That's right.
It's not whimsical. That's what these stupid people think. but they're misinformed. You think you can go to the moon planet just by going to Las Vegas? No. You have to do very heavy austerities. So, we're first of all talking about people who are serious. So if they seriously worship different demigods, not modern day people, one day a week, right? They come in the temple, do their... I worship. That's not worship. That's hodgepodge. Gobbledygook. But serious worship, whoever you worship, that's where you're going. You worship your fore... Like the Oriental people worship their forefathers. Do you know that?
Yes.
Oriental people are very big. They have on their altars, they have their grandfather, great-grandfather. Right? So if you seriously worship the Devata, then you can go to that planet.
Yes.
But to go to Krishna, really? Rules and regulations? I only know one. Chant Hare Krishna.
Devotion.
Gee, that's so tough. That's so difficult to chant Hare Krishna, isn't it? It's all nonsense excuse. They're lazy. That's their problem. They're lazy. They don't accept Prabhupada. And they're not serious. I've given this story so many times. I was in Janardhan's fifth grade class. The class was on Hinduism. And all the kids were asking about reincarnation. So towards the end of the class, I said, look, kids, right outside the classroom is a rocket ship. Whoever wants to go to the kingdom of God, come with me. We'll go in the rocket ship. We'll go to the kingdom of God. Out of 30 kids, how many raised their hand? Five. What does that tell you? They're stupid. So I asked the kids, only five of you want to go? And I said, they said, yeah. I said, why? Because we want to stay and play video games.
Hey, that's good. That's good.
So that's the sad state of modern day man. He'd rather watch ZTV, pornography, go to McDonald's, rather than go back home back to Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya has made it so easy. All you got to do is chant the Hare Krishna mantra and you can go back to Godhead. The final verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam states that. That all you have to do is chant God's name at the time of death and you're going back to Godhead. But they won't do it. They're all fools and rascals. Thank you very much. I know Kamlesh is happy with me tonight. What? Give her the microphone, please, so that the people in the audience, on the internet, because we're up to 10.
Prabhu, in chapter 7, it says, Antavantu Phalam Tesha.
Wait. Why no one's doing the offering? It's already 7:23. What's going on here? We follow a strict schedule here. Time? Somebody has to make up the plate. I want that offering at 7:30. I'm in a new mood now. I'm in Navayogendra mode. I want that plate on there at 7:30. Otherwise...
Prabhupada, KJ.
Okay.
In chapter 7, it says, text 23, Antavantu Phalam Tesham Tad Bhavalpya Medasam Devan Deva Yajo Yanti Mad Bhakta Yanti Mahapapi. So it says, men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planet of the demigods, but my devotee ultimately reach my supreme planet.
Thank you very much.
And in that purport, Prabhupada gave a description about that. So
let's hear it. Please take the mic and preach.
It's big purport.
I don't care. Big. Do it. Just do it nicely.
Okay.
Wait a second. I can't see her. Could you move a little bit? Okay. Please do it nicely.
Okay.
With devotion. Okay. Where is Prabhupada Jivandas? With love and devotion.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Some commentators on the Bhagavad Gita say that one who worship a demigod can reach the Supreme Lord. But here it clearly stated that the worshipper of demigods go to different planetary systems where various demigods are situated. Just as a worshipper of the sun achieves the sun of or a worshipper of the demigod of the moon achieves the moon.
Wait. No book should be on the floor. People from, what is that religion we were talking about? Sikhs. Were to see that, they would think, see, we treat our book better than you, so our book is superior. No book should be on the floor. Sorry to interrupt you.
It's okay. And even Navyogendra Babu was saying, if you touch your hand and touch Bhagavad Gita, it's not right.
Touch your hand?
Feet.
Touch your feet, yes.
So we should not touch our
feet.
Thank
you.
I'm sorry.
No, though, you're doing fine. I like the way you're reading. You're doing a good job.
Similarly, if anyone wants to worship a demigod like Indra, he can attain the particular god's planet. It is not that everyone, regardless of whatever demigod is worshipped, will reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the denied here. For it is the clearly stated that the worshipper of demigods go to different planets in the material world, but the devotee of the Supreme Lord goes directly to the Supreme Planet of the Personality of Godhead. Here the point may be raised that if the demigods are different parts of the body of the Supreme Lord, then the same end should be achieved by the worshipping them. However, worshipper of the demigods are less intelligent because they don't know to what part of body food must be supplied.
Ah.
Some of them are so foolish that they claim that there are many parts and many ways to supply food. This isn't very sanguine.
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 Sanguine means intelligent.
Can anyone supply food to the body through the ears or eyes? They do not know that these demigods are different parts of universal body of the Supreme Lord. And in their ignorance, they believe that each and every demigod is separate god and a competitor of the Supreme Lord. Not only are demigods part of the Supreme Lord, but ordinary living entities are also. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that Brahmanas are the head of the Supreme Lord, and the Kshatriyas are his arms, the Vaishyas are his waist, the Shudras are his legs, and all serve different functions. Regardless of the situation, if one knows that both the demigods and himself are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, his knowledge is perfect. But if he does not understand this, he achieves different planets where the demigods reside. This is not the same destination the devotee reaches. The result achieved by the demigods' benediction are perishable, because within his material world, the planet, the demigods and their worshipper are all perishable. Therefore, it is stated in this verse that all results achieved by worshipping demigods are perishable. And therefore, such worship is performed by the less intelligent living entity. Because the pure devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness in devotional service of the Supreme Lord achieves eternal blissful existence that is full of knowledge. His achievements and those of the common worshipper of the demigods are different. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. His favor is unlimited. His mercy is unlimited. Therefore, the mercy of Supreme Lord upon his pure devotee is unlimited.
Very good. Not last. No. What is my rule? My rule is any question provided it's about Krishna.
So, Krishna resides in Gokul in the spiritual realm.
In the mic, please.
Krishna resides in Gokul in the spiritual realm. However, in Bhagavad Gita, they refer to Shiva as not a living entity nor Bhagavan. They refer to him as a marginal entity. That means neither Jiva nor Ishwar.
That is correct.
So his realm is neither material nor spiritual, or like
how it's in between. He's in his own tattva.
Right.
He's in his own world. So Mahesh Loka, Shiva Loka.
So what?
Kailash.
Could you expand on that topic? Because yes, I don't think a lot of people know
about
it.
But not that. Tonight.
Okay.
You have to come to New Dwarka on the 10th of March. I am giving the Shiva Ratri lecture at New Dwarka. So either come. Yes, come. I don't trust you. You come. Okay? It'll be at 5:30 in New Dwarka. You can help me set up. So come by 5. And then I'll tell you everything there is to know about Lord Shiva. Good enough? Shall we go back to the Bhagavad Gita verse of today? Thank you, Meenakshi, for doing a very nice reading. Slowly, intelligently, with comprehension. I like that. Thank you. All right. Once you try to understand the distress of accepting birth, death, old age, and disease, there are descriptions in various Vedic literatures of birth. Who knows what canto talks about birth? No, birth. The child in the womb. Third. Who tells us? Who narrates the whole story of the child in the womb? Who? No. No. Lord Kapila. Telling Devahuti. A whole chapter is about the child in the womb. Very scientific. From the night of conception till the time it's born. A whole chapter about giving birth. Okay. And also what Prabhupada is saying here, the distress. Because it says that the child in the womb, the neck is arched like this. Try to be like that for 5 minutes. Can't do it now. But you were that way in the womb of the mother for 9 months, hunched over. And then a wind came inside the mother's body and thrust you out. You come out, covered in stool and worms and all kinds of bugs. It's all there in Third Canto by Lord Kapila. Who's Lord Kapila? God. Yes, he's God. There are descriptions in various Vedic literatures of birth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the world of the unborn, the child stay in the womb of the mother, its suffering, etc., are all very graphically described. Yes, Lord Kapila gives you graphic, exactly what's going on. If the mother eats hot, spicy food, it burns the baby's body. If the mother smokes, that harms the baby. If the mother is doing drugs, harms the baby. If the mother is watching stupid television, it harms the baby. When my wife was pregnant with daughter Mitravinda, what was Vruni doing? Working in the temple, cooking for the deities. And every day Vruni would read Krishna book to Mitravinda in the womb. And when Mitravinda came out of the womb, every day Vruni would sit with Mitravinda and read. And I ask Mitravinda to this day, name the 8 principal wives of Krishna. She can name them. All because of that training from the time in the womb. Krishna book is a very powerful book. Prabhupada says, if you read Krishna book, you'll become a devotee. Let me tell you a story I had last week in Guadalajara that ties into this. So there's this one nice young Mexican boy, maybe around a little older than Hiran. So he was very nice, friendly. He was coming to all my classes. So at some point he said, I like Prabhupada, but I don't love Krishna. I went, what? I said, that's not possible. If you like Prabhupada, you have to like Krishna. He goes, no, I mean, I like Prabhupada a lot, but I don't know, I don't like Krishna. So what did I tell him? Read Krishna book. Because I said, Prabhupada said, if you read Krishna book, you'll become a devotee of Krishna. So for the rest of the week, I gave him a new name, Krishna book Das. And I would ask him, so are you reading Krishna book? And I would look. And every so often I'd make a joke. So blah, 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 blah. But do you love Krishna? So we'll see. I'm going back in November. I'll see if he's followed my instruction. If not, then I'll manifest my Navayogendra form. Okay, let's continue. It should be thoroughly understood that birth is distressful. Because we forget how much distress we have suffered within the womb of the mother, we do not make any solution to the repetition of birth and death. Similarly, at the time of death, there are all kinds of sufferings, and they are also mentioned in the authoritative scriptures. Kamleshji, I'm just asking. A few years ago, you had that serious illness. Okay. Did you think that you might die at that time? Many times. So, do you want to have to go through that again? No. Yes. But look what happened. Why do you think Krishna rejuvenated Kamlesh? I know why. Why, Meenakshi? Because of Bhagavad Gita. Yes. Yes. More work to do for who? For Krishna. Right. If he was doing his own work, then he'd be finished. But because he's doing devotional service, Krishna said, okay, I'll give you a few more years. Ah! And now, what they're doing now, one company is Yahoo. Yahoo is stopping all that. Did you hear about that? So many of Yahoo's employees were stay home, but they've discovered that they're not working. So now they're calling everybody back in. No more working at home. So let's pray that Kamlesh doesn't get... You don't work for Yahoo, do you? It was on the news. Yahoo is a real Yahoo, I'll tell you that. Similarly, at the time of death, there are all kinds of sufferings. And they are also mentioned in the authoritative scriptures. These should be discussed. And as far as disease and old age are concerned, everyone gets practical experience. Anybody like getting old? I don't like getting old. I have a new expression. And it's from the Karmi world. I forget, somebody said, but getting old is not for sissies. You got to be strong to get old. Gran Torino. And disease? How many people want to get disease, huh? Isn't that fun? I was sick last week in Guadalajara. I was so sick with that stomach thing. I could barely... I didn't even have enough strength to pick up the bead bag. That's how sick I was. To do Japa walk was like painful. I chant half a round and I have to lie down. That's how bad it was. And to lift the bead bag was like... Now I'm okay. Your association has cured me. So disease, nobody wants it. Unless we have a pessimistic view of this material life, considering the distresses of birth, death, old age, and disease, there is no impetus for our making advancement in spiritual life. As for detachment from children, wife, and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for these. They are natural objects of affection. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them, like I was with my parents. My family, staying with my family, was not conducive to spiritual life. I had to join the temple. There was no better option. But if you are in a situation where you can do devotional service, you don't have to worry about sannyas. Kamlesh doesn't have to take sannyas. He's doing as much as any sannyasi. And he's married and has two boys. And Meena likes what I'm saying. Right? So, if you are already, same with Jai Krishnadas. You're doing devotional service, yes? You don't have to take sannyas. Why do you want to carry a stick? You're doing devotional service. The whole objective of taking sannyas is that you do more devotional service. Not just to carry a stick around and everybody comes up to you, well, give me blessings. I've taken sannyas. No. The objective is devotional service. Bhakti yoga. Let us finish up. How much more we got to go? Page and a half. Okay, I'm not going to rush it. Alright then, we're not rushing. We'll pick this up in 2 weeks. We're coming back in 2 weeks, right, Krishna Kumar? We're back here in 2 weeks. Day before, I'm doing the Sunday feast in Laguna on March 17th. 17th. 16th is Saturday. We're back here on 16th. I'm in Laguna Beach on the Sunday the 17th. Right. So who's coming back on the 16th here? Where are you going? You'd rather go there? Yeah, are you lying? You're in front of Krishna. You want to review that statement? Oh, now we will try. Right, well, we're doing our program. Okay. It'll be very interesting to see what your comments are afterwards. I'm not going to say a word. I want to hear what you guys all say. Especially Kamlesh. I especially want to hear Kamlesh's critique of the whole event. This will be very interesting. Make sure I hear from you, Kamlesh. And if you come that night, I'll give you the microphone. And you can give us a reporter's... Huh? Okay. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. Mahul, why aren't you following along? No, I'm reading, ain't I? Gotta stay on your keys. Like a good teacher. Right, Mom? Thank you. You know where we are. Somebody show them where we are, please. Mukund, or are you not following along? Ah, everything's revealed. One of these days, I'm going to give a test after one of our classes to see who's even paying attention. Written test. Yeah. All right, let's go. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy. So, Arjuna, is your home happy? That must mean it's Krishna conscious. I think so. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy. Because this process of Krishna consciousness is very what? What verse in Bhagavad Gita is Prabhupada referring to? What verse in Bhagavad Gita is Prabhupada referring to when he says Krishna consciousness is very easy? What? Yes, who said that? Shoban, come up here, you hiding with your children. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Nargam Susukam. Very easy or joyful. Glad you knew the answer. Why are you hiding in the back? I don't care about the baby. Sit here. Get a chair and join the party. The baby's not making any noise. There's plenty of room. Krishna Kumar, we need a bigger house. All in favor of Krishna Bhagavan getting a bigger house, say Haribo. What are you saying? The next place will be bigger. It'll be closer to you where you live. How's that? Okay, like that, huh? I want his house to be next door to Mina's. How's that? Boy, then we'll take over the block like Monopoly. Then Nimaitreya can get the next house. And who knows, maybe I'll get another house. We'll take over we'll name it no longer Waverly. We'll call it Kurukshetra Lane. Right. Okay, one need only chant what? Again. Accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Have some discussion on books like... What? Oh, really? Are we discussing Bhagavad Gita right now? And Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Kumar, when we finish Gita, we're going to Bhagavatam. I'm overriding. And Rama is happy. Krishna Kumar wanted to go do Gita again. No. When we finish Gita, we're going to do the whole Bhagavatam. All in favor, say Haribol. Haribol. You're overruled. And engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. So, Mahul, you asked me a question. Here's your answer. All your questions that you had for me this afternoon are all answered in this purport. That should teach you something. When the spiritual master gives you an instruction, success is automatically guaranteed with its execution. Bhakti Siddhanta, whose appearance day is today, told Prabhupada at the first meeting, preach in English. What did Prabhupada do? He spent his whole life getting ready, prepared. He came to America. Everybody wants an America. And he started the Krishna Consciousness Movement in America. Because India wasn't interested. He tried, but they weren't interested. So he went to New York. ¿Qué pasa, New York? These four things will make one happy. One should train the members of his family in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together, everybody. If one can mold his family life in this way, to develop Krishna consciousness following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. There's one Thailand young devotee I meet every once in a while at New Dwarka. He's got a young daughter. His wife left him. He's a young guy in his 20s. So his parents, his mother, his father, his auntie, they're totally against Krishna consciousness. Because he comes to me, whenever I see him, he goes, Prabhu, what should I do? My mother is like this. I said, move out. Get out of there. Leave there. So his plan is to go to Thailand first. There is some temple in Thailand. And then he's going to go to Mayapur. But I told him, if that's the way your life is at home, you have to get out. You've got to go where Krishna consciousness is favorable. Govind, are you reading along the book? Okay. No, this book, Bhagavad Gita. Very good. Thank you. I will be asking you a question shortly. Is your father following along? No, Yoga Nidra. Would you please give him a book? Nobody sits in my class without a book. And find the right page for him. I am a strict teacher. Yes. I need a whip. Sit properly. Are you enjoying this, Prem? You're a teacher, right? How do I do? Am I okay? Okay? One must sacrifice everything to realize or serve Krishna, just as Arjuna did. Arjuna did not want to kill his family members. But when he understood that these family members were impediments to his Krishna realization, he accepted the instruction of Krishna and fought and killed them. Ah, fought and killed. Just see. Very unusual kind of devotional service. Shravanam, kirtanam, killanam. So does that mean we should do like these other guys, get a whole bunch? Let's all buy guns. Yeah, you would. No, that's for Arjuna, not for us. Our gun is our japa bag. Like I sometimes, when I was doing in Guadalajara, say hello to my little friends, and I'd pull out my beads. But Arjuna, he had to kill. He accepted the instruction of Krishna and fought and killed them. In all cases, one should be detached from the happiness and distress of family life, because in this world, one can never be fully happy or fully miserable. Because our planet is in the middle of all the planetary systems. In the heavenly planets, you enjoy more than you suffer. In the lower planets, you also enjoy. In fact, according to Shukadeva Goswami, there's more material enjoyment in the lower planets. Huh? No, Shukadeva Goswami says, that's what I'm just saying. Shukadeva Goswami says, there's more enjoyment in the lower planets. That's right. Yes. What you mean to say, Rama, is that as far as godly enjoyment, yes, the higher planets. But gross material sense gratification, you're better off going to the lower planets. According to Shukadeva Goswami in fifth canto. But as far as heavenly sense gratification, yes, you want to go to the higher planets. But as far as gross sense gratification, where there's no interruption of your sense gratification, wow. If we were to go on the airwaves right now, you can buy a cruise for unlimited sense gratification. We would have... Huh? Yes. But they have fantastic sense gratification. Goodness, you go up. Goodness. If you want to go to the higher planets, you have to elevate to the mode of goodness. Passion, you stay on earth. This is passion loka, raja loka, earth. But if you want to go to the higher planets, heavenly, you've got to be in the mode of goodness, sattva gun. Okay. So no one can ever be fully happy or fully miserable. Happiness and distress are concomitant. What does concomitant mean? Wow, Rama. Very good. Factors of material life. One should learn to tolerate, as advised in Bhagavad Gita. One can never restrict the coming and going of happiness and distress. What does Krishna say in chapter 2? Say it in the microphone. In the microphone, please, 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 in the microphone. Get the mic out of the thing. Put this, take it out. Thank you.
Matra sparshasu kaunteya shitosna sukha dukheshu agama paino nityam tam titikshasva bharat.
The meaning?
I have to read, Prabhu.
Thank you. 2:14. All right? One should learn to tolerate. The word is tatiksha. Right? Tam's tatikshasva. One should never restrict the coming and going. One can never restrict the coming and going of happiness and distress. So one should be detached from the materialistic way of life and be automatically equipoised in both cases. Generally, when we get something desirable, we are very happy. And when we get something undesirable, we're distressed. Just like last week, I was sick as a dog. That was not desirable. Now, when I got back home and the medicine finally kicked in, now I'm getting everything I like. And Krishna is being very good to me these days. That's why I'm such a good mood. I'm getting special benedictions from Krishna. I love it. Thank you, Krishna. To reach that stage, we have to practice unbreakable devotional service. Prabhupada is here referring to chapter 14, verse 26. Rama, what is 14:26? Rama. All right. Meenakshi, in the microphone.
Let me open that verse.
Oh, you don't know by heart?
I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
Vyamcha yobi vyabhicharena bhakti yogena
sevate
saguna samatita tena brahma bhuyata kalpate.
There you go. Brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So, vyabhicharani, unbroken devotional service. That means 24-7, 365, life in, life out, life in, life out. Just like my name, Nirantara, perpetual, without cessation. Devotional service to Krishna without deviation means engaging oneself in the, how many processes? 90 processes of devotional service. Chanting, hearing, worshipping, offering respect, etc. As described in the last verse of the 9th chapter. That process should be followed. Meenakshi, take the microphone and read the Sanskrit and English to the final verse of the 9th chapter. Everybody also find the verse. But it's Meenakshi who I want to actually say it in the microphone. Por favor. 9:34 is the verse. Nicely.
Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktatvait matmanam matparayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me.
That's the first wing. What is that?
Engage your mind always in thinking of me.
Thank you.
Because my devotee offers obeisances to
become
me.
My devotee.
Sorry. Become my devotee.
So how do I become Krishna's devotee, Kablesh?
Surrender unto him.
How about practically? What? Wait, wait, wait. Somebody said something? Rama, how do I practically become a devotee? Oh, I love that answer. Continue, please.
And worship me. Being completely...
Oh, how do I worship Krishna? That's true. But how are we going to do it in 2 minutes?
Arti.
Ding, 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 ding.
Kirtan.
Or else if you're in Kamlesh, you will do it to the Bhagavad Gita. Hey, you know what? Have you got room on your altar to put a Bhagavad Gita so that when you do arti, you can also do it? What do you think, Kamlesh? No room?
No, we can make room, you know.
Or else get another table. Get another altar. Yeah. Make a little thing. Put it nice. Okay, go on.
But Niranda Prabhu, our altar is here and the same side, on the left side, we have big cabinet. And there is the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, everything. So,
then?
We do worship.
Oh, God. You're doing it already?
Yeah.
So. You don't need me to tell you anything. Go ahead.
Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me.
Oh, what is that last part? Surely you will
come to me.
So that means I become Krishna?
No.
But he said come. Thank you. All right, we're going to stop there. So I need a volunteer to collect the books. Okay, now, here's how we're going to do RT.